to us. I mean, he's been good to us. He's been good to this church, praise God. I told Travis the last of last year, I almost paid him what I believed God for this year that I told him last year. You know, it was a significant amount of increase. And I went into 23 believing that God would continue 23 what he was continuing in 24. And I just believed God and laid hold of it. Now, when you do that, whatever you're believing God for, there will be conflict. There will be opportunities to quit. There will be opportunities to back up. There will be opportunities, you know, to stop and not engage. Hallelujah. But the Lord spoke to me today, and he said, be steady in conflict. And I, you know, and a lot of times if we're not careful, you know, we can be doing good, believing God, all excited, fasting, pray. Fasting destroys yokes and lifts burdens. And I'm just telling you right now, fasting does you good spiritually, mainly. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, it says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in weakness and infirmities. And this last year, you know, how many knows when conflict shows up, it's not a time to slack up. A lot of God's people I've seen over the years, you know, when conflict hits their house, big level, small, medium, don't matter, you'll see them back off. I'm talking about back off of their faith, back off of their confidence, back off and let the world and the things around them dictate how they feel. If you're going to be a Christian and have victory and walk in victory, you must learn to discipline yourself to not walk by how you feel. You must learn to discipline yourself to walk by faith. And faith is not a weird force. You know, I mean, you know, somebody that's sound in faith, they won't be weird. They'll be sound. They'll be solid. They'll be unmovable. You won't hear them talk too much doubt. You'll hear them when the conflict's on, and if they're really in faith, you won't even hardly know they're going through a battle. Unless they just decide to tell you it's not going to be long till the victory's mine. You know, and so when conflict shows up, it's not a time to draw back. It's time to rise up. I don't care if it's sickness and disease, if it's oppression. I don't care if it's financial stress. It don't matter what it is. Whatever conflict comes to you and comes into your arena, it's time to rise up. And I'm not talking about in our own strength. That's why we seek after the Lord. That's why we fast and we pray and we hear preaching and we turn on praise and worship music and we feed ourselves on God's word and, you know, we read the Bible. We study the Bible sometimes. We meditate on the word and all of that. Then when conflict rises, we're already ready. I mean, we're already, we're like, glory to God, that's what I've been preparing for. That's what I've been going to church for. That's what I've been uniting in union with the body of Christ for. That's what I've been fasting and getting in the word. I've been getting ready for this conflict. Now, I had open heart surgery 4 years ago. Everybody knows it. My body didn't tell me what to do, and I'm not even getting into that. And so I go on, you know, and every year they want you to have the checkups and all that, and that's great, and that's fine. I'm not against doctors like Doris. Thank God for doctors, you know. But sometimes, you know, when we're going to get that report, fear can get there. You know, fear can get in there, oh, God, you know. But every time I went in and faith came out in faith, don't stay in faith. And I'm going to live long, satisfied, not long, weak, oppressed, ain't got no strength. That's not what the Bible says. See, and when these signs and these things come your way, it's not a time to surrender to them. It's a time to rise up, and the Bible says, let the weak say that I'm strong. I mean, when you feel weak, don't start saying I'm weak. Don't get in agreement with weak. Don't get in agreement with it. Don't get in agreement with sickness. You get in agreement with what God's Word says. That's why I preach it here a lot. Let God's Word be first say and final authority over whatever conflict is coming your way. Or let it be first say and final authority over what you believe God has spoken into your heart that you're going to have and move into. Hallelujah. So they did say, so I go up to the doctor, you know, and they're going to do the sonogram, monogram, whatever it is. In other words, they're looking at them arteries again. And so when I got done, somebody told me, well, you better not do this, this, this. I said, listen, I said, I lived 52 years. I said, and had that done, thank God for the doctors, and they said I had heart disease. I don't claim it. When somebody says, what, you got heart disease? And I say, no, well, let's watch your charts. I don't care what that chart says. I had stopped up hose pipes. That's not heart disease. Now, somebody can differ, but why would you want to go against my faith? Right? I'm not going to go against yours. If you believe you're healed, I can look at you all twisted up, and I'm going to believe you. Why? Because the Bible says that those that do know their God will do exploits, extraordinary things. The Bible says whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe that we receive it, and what? We might get it? No, it says we shall have it. Well, I'm going to include me, and you can be in there too. Okay, I go, so I started out, and I started saying, okay, and I'm speaking to my veins and stuff every day. I thank you, Lord, when I go back to that doctor's appointment, Lord, my veins will not ever stop up again in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, my blood flows through, and nothing can stick to my arteries. Not even, whatever they say. See, this sounds stupid to the world. But the Bible says in Second Corinthians over, as we have the same spirit of faith, and therefore we believe, and therefore we speak. You ain't never read it? It's in the Bible. Paul said it. Oh, she got it up there? Okay. Well, that's good. We, having the same spirit of faith. I mean, what spirit of faith? Man, let me tell you something. The Bible says that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in Scotty Weston. Now, I don't know about you. If you're born again, that's yours too. If you write with the Lord, the very one that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Okay, so I go on. They done some tests up here, the other heart doctor. They in there, you know, and I'm laying there, and they did that. She said, oh, that looks like a blood clot. And I'm laying there, and I thought, looked like a blood clot in me? No. Well, fear tried to hit. Well, they get that other doctor in there, and he said, nah, that's muscle. You can see it right there. I thought, yeah, bless God, there ain't no blood clots in here. I've been speaking to my veins ever since I had open heart surgery. Anyways, they go on, and I get the report back from the other doctor, and it looks exactly like it did, all of it, when I had the surgery. 4 years, a little over 4 years. And every day I speak in my veins. I speak to my veins. I speak to my blood. I speak to my liver, my heart. I believe I'm healed, therefore I'm going to speak it. I have the same spirit of faith Jesus had. You have the same spirit of faith Jesus had. The Bible says, every man has been given the measure of faith. I mean, faith is thrown around so in the Christian community somewhat till it's just like, you know, generic, what do I use, underarm deodorant? Secret. I used a secret. Suave is a generic secret. Oh, it's Suave? We went from secret. It's still pretty good. There we go. They watered down secret. Well, how many knows we can water this word down or we can keep it like it is? And I, in my heart and in my mind and in this church, we're going to keep it like it is. So therefore, that means we all are going to live long, satisfied life, strong in the Lord, strong in the power of His might. We're in union with Him. We're in covenant with Him. And He is a covenant God, and He's not a covenant-breaking God. And He said He will not alter the word that has come out of His mouth. Okay, they go on. I get all that report, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It caused you to give glory to God because you realize He's give you His faith, He's give you His word, and He's give you His ability to speak out of your mouth like He did in the natural, and things line up. Now, see, a lot of times people are afraid to confront this stuff. You know, what if it don't work? Well, what if it does? The Bible says it will. You don't get into that what if it don't. Why do I feel the way I feel? Why ain't it working for me? You got to get out of all of that and make your mind and heart up that God's word is true. And God is a man, that not a man, He should lie. And He watches over His word to perform it. Whatever word we plant in our hearts and we get it in there, not up here. I know a lot about the Bible, but I ain't got a lot of revelation on all the Bible. I need more revelation. I'm going to have more inside. The further we go, the more we walk, the more we'll have inside. Okay, go on. Now the insurance wants to do colonoscopy and all kind of stuff, you know, and I'm like, I don't know about all that. Well, having trouble with my sinuses, so they think it's acid reflux. So I'm like, I started to say out of my mouth, because I said it for years, I got a stomach of steel. You know, ain't nothing going to eat my stomach up. Medicine eats your stomach up and all that stuff. Well, anyhow, I'm down there at the doctor, and she said, do you want to have, they looked at my stomach, you know, and my colon and all that today. And she said, I said, why are you asking me? She said, so some people just go, no, I'm not having that. I said, when you put me to sleep, can you do both of them at one time? Yeah, we can do that. I said, well, let's just knock it out. Just knock it out. I'm making a point to what I'm saying. Now, all this time I've been waiting on the test, okay? And all this time, you know, I've been having thoughts, you might have colon cancer. You might have a bunch of ulcers. You might have these thoughts will come to your mind, getting you to lay down your faith as you're waiting on the test. And so I cast them down just like Johnny said. Ain't that what the Bible says for us to do? It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, but mighty through God for the pulling down of the strongholds that's trying to get me to believe fear. Cast them down, bring in your thoughts when you think, I'm not going to make it. That's not you. It won't work. That's not you. You cast those thoughts down and you say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So I started saying, glory to God, hallelujah, can't wait till I get the good report on my stomach. I'm going to get a good report on my colon. I'm going to get good reports. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Your word says this is what you need to do while you're waiting on stuff. Don't wait to hear a report, and then, oh my God, you'll fall apart. So they found a polyp in my colon somewhere. And when Teresa told me that, because they got me out, man, you're sleeping good, some good sleep, you know, when they put you to sleep, man. That's good sleep. You don't know nothing. Well, when Teresa told me that, my first thought was, got that devil out. Good report on my colon, good, ain't nothing wrong with my stomach and all of that. I've been speaking to my stomach, bless God. If there's anything that's attacking my stomach, I know that it's not the will of God, and I speak to it right now, and I thank you, Lord, I'll get a good report. Well, now, yesterday, I had symptoms. I had chills. I had scratchy throat. I had all these things, and I thought to myself, oh, man, I better cancel them. I'm not going to go to the hospital sick, man. I mean, you know, I better cancel them. Had these thoughts, and I thought to myself, I thought, no, I'm not. So I mentioned Teresa, and she said something. I don't even remember what she said, but I said, I'm already on it. I'm driving it out. So, I mean, I drove it out. I drove it out, hallelujah. Now, if you got a fever, that's the first thing they check. I went down there symptom-free this morning, not by faith. Faith had already worked. I went down there symptom-free and went in there, and I mean, I had things, you know, feelings, and chills. I mean, I'm running by the heater, and Teresa, she's sweating. I go over there, get out in front of the heater, I cover up. I'm having chills, you know. And so they want you to fast, you know. They want you to do without food from midnight till the time you have surgery. And Travis always, or have the procedure. Travis always says, I hope they get me early. He ready to eat, man. Or he goes to bed. He stays up late, eats all the way up till time. Some of you need to laugh. The Bible says laughter doeth good like a medicine. Well, I don't feel like it. I know it, but it don't say when you feel like laughing, it does good like a medicine. It says laughter doeth good like a medicine. See, I'm driving some of the garbage out of your life right now. I know. And if I don't, you will. So anyways, I go on, you know, praise God. And this morning I thought, bless God, I already know. I didn't need no confirmation, you know, that it worked. You need to stand again. I mean, COVID and the flu's being ramped up on TV. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying ain't a lot of people in the hospital. I'm not saying none of that. But don't the Bible say that we're in this world and not of it? Right? Okay, we got to do something about this stuff. We got to stand against it. You need to go anoint your house. Plead the blood of Jesus over your house. Anoint your own head. You believe it, therefore speak it. Speak to it. It's not going to run rampant. I'm not going to have flu. I'm not going to. And you know, some people will take you as arrogant in that. Boy, who does he think he is? I'm a child of the Most High God, and I know in whom I have believed, and I know in whom I serve. And that should be your attitude. You don't need confirmation to drive out sickness. The Bible says, 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. And so anyways, I thought, well, I got to fast anyhow. They said you can eat a light breakfast, Mac. She said, she went on to say, anything you can see through, you can eat. And I thought, well, I wonder, I don't like raw eggs. It's how you cook it, man. I told Travis, I said, this lady don't know what, I'm not eating no light breakfast. So I told the Lord. I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'm not doing this for them. I said, I'm going on a fast now. Because I didn't fast Christmas Day because we eat, you know. I normally fast once a week or more. Well, anyways, I took it and I started fasting. I thought, in my heart, I just consecrated it to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Teresa, we get out and she said, you going to eat? And I said, I don't know, you know. But you know what? I know that my fasting and my heart dedicating to the Lord in that drawing closer to the Lord, staying focused on the Lord, I know that that has spiritual aspects in my life I can't explain. See, whenever I went to a meeting one time, I think it was a men's meeting, had some folk with me, and it ain't the first time. I've seen people, they go to church and they're just talking about everything. They ain't had their mind on the Lord or nothing else before they get there, you know. And then something tragic happened, you know, and they just come unglued. They come all apart. That happened to me one time. I rode with some folk. And all the way up there, they were talking about dogs and Sister Susie. And I'm over there by myself. I get over there, and I wasn't talking. I'm praying. I'm praying for that service. They couldn't hear me, but I'm praying for that service, and I'm believing God for that service. I'm believing God for the minister to be anointed. You know, my mind is on the service, you know, and so we get in there. Something happened, and I was over there talking to a brother, and one of them come over, "Man, what's wrong with you?" I looked around, and I said, "What you mean, what's wrong with me? Man, so-and-so just happened, blah, blah, blah." You know, and all that. And I said, "Well, I didn't know, man." I said, "Let's go." And so we get back down here to the church. We parked at the church. We get back down to the church, and I got out of the vehicle, and I'm fixing to shut the door. And I said, "Let me tell y'all something, all of y'all something." I said, "You don't turn Jesus on and off when you want him." I said, And I'm just letting y'all know I won't be riding with you anymore. Slam! Now, I'm not saying that to was judging them or anything else, you know, but I already knew, you know, that the Lord told me a long time ago. He said, "Don't wait till battles hit to try to get strong." He said, "Keep yourself strong in me and in my word and your mind on me. Then when these things comes against you, it don't take you 3 weeks to get over it." The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, I believe it is, it says, "Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." That you may grow thereby. See, conflict's going to hit your house. I've been preparing for this year for my business. I'm believing God for increase. You need to believe God for increase wherever you work, not in your own business or your own business. You need to, but you got to learn to be steady in conflict. When sickness comes to you, don't go talking all that junk. I feel it. I'm shivering. Calling everybody up. Oh, get the 1-800 prayer line going and all of that. Why don't you just pray? Anoint your head. Anoint your house. Plead the blood of Jesus. I'm not against, you know, a prayer group, you know. But I mean, I don't have enough confidence in some folk on Facebook that if I asked them to pray, they'd pray. They say they pray about everybody and everything, and I just don't believe it. I mean, I ain't got enough time. We're praying. I forgot. They're going to the next person. Praying. What are you praying? What are they praying for me? Somebody told me one time, just all full of goofiness, and "I'll be praying for you." I said, "I don't need you to." God, please help Scotty. Please, if you can. I don't need that kind of stuff. I go to a revival. I'm saying this for a reason. You know why I'm saying. I'm not judging people and all that out of experience that I've had and why God is not able to move and why he is. For some Christians, he can't move like he wants to. Then these other ones, praise God, I mean, they set their face towards him and they resist that devil and they come against things that they know is not God's will in their life, praise God, and they fight for it. And those get results. So we're in a revival. The church is full. They are. And me and Brother Oney, that's pastor up yonder, we went to this revival. And so tradition to the church, you know, you want to go along with whatever they're doing. Well, the men go down in the basement to pray right before the service. And we go down in the basement and they're praying some of the just unfaith-filled prayers I've ever heard in my life, the pastors and the deacons. Oh, God, if you can, God, wrap your loving arms around this bunch up there and all that, you know. And I just backed off and I thought, dear Jesus, you know. I went over there and I started praying the prayer of faith. Thank you, Lord, you're in our midst right now. Don't the Bible say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty? Well, he's here tonight. I didn't have to beg him to come. All we got to do is show up and he's in us. He said when we gather, he'll be in the midst of us. Hallelujah. Well, I just backed up, prayed, you know. We get up there and I mean, it's like flesh revivals broke out in the church. You know, and I'm standing over her and I'm just watching it, you know, and I'm just seeing on the inside if God's got anything he wants me to say to the people because it's opened up and you can pray if you want to for the people, you know. And so he walks over there to me, Brother Oney, and he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Something's wrong here." I said, "He's not here." I said, "It's real simple." I said, "He's not manifesting himself." I said, "He's not able to manifest himself." I said, "A bunch of unbelief." I said, I mean, it stops the move of God. Jesus said that because of their unbelief, he could not do no mighty works. That's your Bible says that. Well, what about us? I mean, if Jesus couldn't do it, hallelujah. And we can't have that in our homes. In our thinking, praise God. It's not a time to surrender when trouble comes. When trouble comes with your kids at school, pray and fast. Come on, somebody. When they're facing things, they're going to face ungodly stuff in our schools. Have you noticed that? You know, when they face these things, these conflicts, we're to cover them. We're to pray. I know Travis was getting bullied one time in school. Or on the school bus. And I mean, it took everything in me not to teach that boy. I mean, you know, I wanted to teach him to fight. I mean, you know, not just wrestle around stuff, you know, to fight. I was raised up in a fighting family, so a lot of times that's just the way it was. And so, but now I'm serving Jesus. And now I've got to be a godly example to my son. But my emotions are saying I can't let him get bullied. I'm going to go. I thought I'm going to go to his daddy. I knew where his daddy lived. You know, and I'm going to confront his daddy, and I'm going to tell his daddy, you know, one more time, your son, and it's going to be me and you, Jack. I might go to jail, but you're going to be in the hospital. You know, and then I had to cast them thoughts down. But the Lord told me, he said, love is the way. He said, you teach him to forgive. You teach him to suffer wrong when it's done to him. It takes a real man to humble himself and do that. To lay down that pride and that arrogance, you know, that is stopping faith from working. Now, I mean, they're not like everyday hangout kind of people, you know. But I mean, they became pretty good friends after that. Instead of a bully, they were kind of friends, you know. And everything. And so, see, it was not time to surrender to the flesh man. Well, you can't surrender to sickness when it attacks you. When it attacks you, don't just go wrap up on the couch and just give in to it, praise God. Get you some preaching going on. Get you some ministering going on in your house. Travis, when he used to get sick, Travis, where he couldn't go to school or something, should give you some Tylenol and put on some Kenneth Copeland ministry teaching tapes on healing beside his bed. And he couldn't go out and play. He's got to listen. You know, he didn't get sick very much. Somebody asked me, you know, people attack, Teresa attack, this and that. Now, I'm not tooting my horn, but this is my thinking and this is my conviction and this the way it is. And I won't waver in it. They asked me, he said, "What, has it affected you?" I said, "I ain't got time to get sick." And I didn't tell them, "No, I'm using my big faith." That's not about that. It's about in here. It's about what's really in here. shield of faith. The Bible says, taking therewith the shield of faith. Not big words, but the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. Hallelujah. So even when I'm attacked, you know, about something, about sickness, I don't tell Teresa, you know, I feel it. I think I'm getting this. I think I'm getting that. Don't take it. Whatever you believe, you're going to say it. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. What does that mean? That means if I stand against some sickness that's attacking me, I got a reward coming. I'm not going to fling my confidence away. And just, I hear people out there in the world, they'll say, well, you know, some things you just got to let it run its course. Well, why can't we stop its course? I believe we can stop its course. I'd like to listen to the weather occasionally, and they're giving the cases now of the flu. You know, pneumonia, flu B, flu C. I mean, all kind of flus now. It just used to be flu. Come up with some new names, you know, and everything. And the Lord told me, he said when the world ramps up something, he said it's time to ramp up faith. He said when they're noising it abroad, when they're giving you the evidence out there, you know, he said, then you gotta come on up in your faith and get a shield out there, you know, and don't let nothing run its course in your life. Well, don't the Bible say in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? He says, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of your healing, evidence of your prosperity, evidence of your strength. Hallelujah. You go to Hebrews 11, read all those patriarchs. I mean, they used their faith. They did it. It says, by faith, Noah, by faith, they quenched the lion. I looked up the word by, and it don't mean it. It means because of their faith. Because they had faith. Because they utilized their faith. They was able to do all the things that they done. And you know what? We are just generations down the road. Same word, same God, same spirit, same grace, same anointing. Hallelujah. Heard a pastor on Facebook, you know, and he said, church is in the most decline it's been since 1960-something. I thought, mine's growing. See, I'm not in the statistics. I'm not downing him. He's looking at for real, keeping up with and all that stuff, you know. That's fine. That's not my evidence. My evidence, when all of them was flourishing and big and all of that, my evidence was 20, 10, 9, 8, 1, 0. Come here and preach one night. Nobody. Teresa didn't show up. Had something to do. Wasn't she laying out of church? Nobody showed up. I was discouraged till I got to the pulpit and God said, what has that got to do with it? So I preached one of my best sermons. I left here and I thought, glory to God, maybe nobody won't show up Sunday. That was so good. I felt so good. And the Lord said, see, he said, that's because you walked by faith, and then it excites you. It don't make no difference if it's preaching or sickness or finances or whatever. When you walk by faith and then you see the reward come hit you, come overtake you, then you're like, that's when you know faith is very good. Very good. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight. Well, just like the little sister, you know, she fasted a little bit there and she was hungry for the word. Hungry for the word. Did you know that fasting is fighting? Did you know that praying is fighting? Did you know that coming to church is fighting? Did you know I'm laying there on the bed and, you know, and the lady went through. She said, now I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions that's got nothing to do with this procedure. And I started to say, is that stupid or what? And I thought, don't say that. I mean, you're going to ask me a bunch of questions that ain't got nothing to do with this procedure. But I'm laying there alert. I'm not going to lay on that bed and let something slip in on me that I'm going in agreement with. And so she says, "Have you trouble swallowing?" I said, "No, ain't no trouble swallowing." Well, then the nurse comes in later. And he said, "Well, say you got trouble swallowing." I said, "No." He said, "It's in your chart." And my next thought was, well, sometimes I do. If I take a big bite or something, you know, man. I mean, you know, it gets lodged in there or something, you know. And I thought, don't say that out of your mouth. I thought to myself, Satan, you tried to slip that in on me through an innocent guy there, you know. I ain't got no trouble swallowing. I mean, y'all are quiet, but hey, you better watch what you say about yourself to get in agreement with. I could have got in agreement with that. Therefore, you know, I believe. Therefore, I speak. What's those thoughts? What's what the world says? I mean, you know, I mean, just like the economy and the open borders, and I mean, everything's in a mess, and interest rates are up, and average households haven't spent $200 more a month than they was back, you know, two and a half years ago, and all of that. I mean, it's real. The open borders are real, but Jehovah Jireh's real. He is our deliverer. He steps in, and he's going to step in because he is a God of justice. But besides all that, I'm not even into all of that. God is my sowers. I'm not depending on shutting the border to prosper. I'm not depending on Republicans getting in to prosper. I'm not, because if I go or you go depending on that, the Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Put that Psalms 1 up there, Bethany. Hallelujah. See, I've been here, done this. You know, all excited about the Lord and business growing back under, you know, in the 90s. Believing God, coming to the office early, getting before the Lord, and confessing things. That's when confession wasn't in some of the small churches, you know. They'd treat that like it's some kind of skunk you bought in the church. They'd say, "Well, we don't really see no use and no need in doing that." And I'd be like, "Well, do you read the Bible? It's all in the Bible. Proverbs 18:19, death and life is in the power of the tongue." I said, "It's been there way before me and you got here. Have you ever read it?" "I didn't even know that was in there." I said, "Well, you know," I said, "don't knock something you know nothing about. Go find out about it in the Bible. Go to the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Go to your Bible and see how many times God said something. See how many times Jesus spoke to something. See how many times Paul spoke to something. See how many times in there and see if that's significant to us." Well, it is. Absolutely. I speak what I believe. I used to believe that I was a bad boy. I'm talking about, you know, I wasn't scared of nobody. And I bought me hats and put on my head. It was not good words, you know. And I mean, I'm 5'6". And I mean, I believed it in here. I believe, bless God, I am this. I didn't say bless God. But, you know, I mean, I believe that even lost. And I'd go around saying, "Nobody gonna mess with me too much." And I'd tell them, hey, come on, bring it on. "You're a lot bigger than me, so I'm gonna get me an equalizer." My daddy told me that. So anyways, you know, I believed that and I acted like that. So why not come over here and get born again and act like what you've already been made? You was made right. You was brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, into the kingdom of his dear son. I mean, you've been made a king and a priest unto God. I mean, you have all the promises of God to you that is yes and amen. And all the things that you might have wanted back there before you got saved that you never seen that you could have, you get born again, start having them because of the word. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, that's mine. I believe that, and I say that over myself. And I tell the Lord, when this world out here, they can make millions and all that, they got no counsel for me. They don't tell me how to make money. I inquire of the Lord, and I do things God's way. He'll tell you to do something that somebody that's lost. Just, let me give you an example. Right when we started business not too long, we were looking for a place to, me and my brother went partners in Weston Overhead Door back in 1993 or 4. And we were looking for a building. We had rented one down here in Bluntsville. And we run across this guy that was pretty wealthy, but he was lost. He did not know God. And he was telling us, you can't have a business down there in Bluntsville. He said, you didn't got to go somewhere where there's high traffic. You know? And in the natural, that makes sense, don't it? Out somewhere where everybody sees your building and sees your doors, trucks, and sees your signs and all of that. Surely God wouldn't tell you to go down into Bluntsville with one red light. That was his thinking. That's what that's talking about. And so we left, and my brother, he said, well, that makes sense. I said, who's right, him or God? I said, God told us to go to Bluntsville. I said, the Bible says, I quoted this scripture in 1994, to sit not in the counsel of the I said, that's the ungodly trying to give us their wisdom of where we need to be. I said, it makes sense in the natural. I said, but whatever God says works. Well, we started that business down here in Bluntsville. In 3 years, it was grossing $500,000 and growing fast in a one red light town. Well, he says, but his delight is in what the Lord says. The word of God. See, I believed that I could go into Bluntsville, and I just believed back then that God wanted to do it so that we would know that He's God in the middle of Bluntsville and build a big business and run 5 and 6 trucks and employ 5 and 6 people, praise God, in the middle of a broke, drug-infested Bluntsville. These little bitty drugs gets on your nerves. This place is better than it's ever been. Why? Because we're standing against the spirit of witchcraft here. We stand against it in our hearts. The Bible says, resist the devil and he has to get out of Bluntsville. Right? He done moved out of this corner. Now these other churches popping up. Hallelujah. Praise God. But he said, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do. How often did he think about the word there? Day and night. I mean, I'm working on this truck right now, and I'm thinking, oh, glory to God, Lord, you've been so good to me. I mean, I'm putting a service bed on it, mid-Travis R, ladder rack, and we're getting ready for the first of the year, another truck, and you know, and I'm like, no, I don't know, man, about this. But I get excited, Johnny. Because God, I don't even have to go to work anymore. The Bible says I will enjoy the works of my hands. I'm not enjoying it unless I'm working. I just believe the scripture back when I wouldn't keep a regular job. I hated work. I hated keeping a regular job. I hated authority, Teresa says. You know. And I mean, I did everything to get out of work. I mean, I worked, and just I wouldn't hold, you know. But anyways, I started taking the word of God. I started delighting in the word of God. You know, Lord, I'm just going to work for you, and I'm working. I'm going to be the best that I can be here, Lord. All of these things, when the conflict started coming like it used to, I started getting steady in the conflict. Then I wasn't moved out of the place that I used to be in. you know. And so when you're standing in divine health, then when something comes against you, you just got to stand up and resist it. We're coming from a place of victory. We're not trying to get victory. We're not down here trying to get victory. Victory's already ours. Jesus stripped Satan of all power. He took on everything that will ever attack me and you, praise God, or we'll ever go through. He took it on him own self, bore it for us, and then give it to us. He took it and give us the freedom. I never dreamed, well, I did dream, but I couldn't conceive that I would really ever be debt free. But I started out several years ago believing God when I couldn't see it. And then whenever I got it, me and Teresa got a chance, we paid a little extra on stuff, paying it off early stuff, believing God for increase. And you know what? Teresa just reminded me, one year ago, we've lived the 1 year debt-free. We're debt-free, me and Teresa. So don't tell me you can't attain it. You can attain it. And you can do it through your faith. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to rack up $50,000 worth of debt right quick, which I could. That would be defeating the purpose of me believing all those years and coming to that place. And I'm declaring over all of you right now that this flu and all of this, it might come against you, but the Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. You stand up and you plead the blood of Jesus. Plead it over poverty. Go into this next year, praise God, and say, God, when conflict arises in my life, I'm going to be steady. I remember, I'm going to tell you a couple of things here, because I just taught on it's talking about two types of people. One builds their house on the rock, one on the sand. The one that built their house on the rock is the one that hears Jesus' sayings, hears that psalms. And does it, lays hold of it, embraces it, does something with it, exercises it. You know, say it out of your mouth whenever you feel defeated. Do something with it. He said that person, when all hell breaks loose, the storms, the slamming it and all that stuff, it don't fall. That means sickness and disease. That means trouble in the family. That means whatever, you know. That means extra financial pressure. That means your washer blows up, your dryer goes out. That means tire blows out brand new, you know, and you have to get another one. All of these things can't take you down because God will show up. He will show up. I remember my mom. Now, she was bedridden for several years, in her latter years, she was in her 80s. In this particular time that I'm talking about, she went into a coma. Well, I'd sat down and talk to my mama. You know, I went in there, slid up a chair, and I talked to my mama, you know, because a lot of them talking negative, you know. And you need to put her in a nursing home. And I said, don't ever say that to me again. I said, if you do, I said, you better get you a good lawyer. I said, because it'll be after I don't have nothing to fight you with. My mama is not going in a nursing home. I sat down with my mama, and mama made me promise that I would never put her in a nursing home unless she was completely out of her mind and didn't know nobody. And so anyways, I said, don't ever say that again. I said, my mama is not a burden to me. You know, I'm believing God to take care of my mama. And he did. He made things happen for my mama that I knew was God because I took that stand, but she went in a coma. And so I went on a fast. I went to fasting because she's in a coma, and I'm beneficiary over, you know, her burial policies and all that stuff, you know. And so the doctor requested that I come, you know. And so I told my sister, I said, I'm not coming. Well, the doctor, I said, I don't care. I said, I am not coming. And so I'm fasting, you know, and I'm before the Lord. You know, and all of a sudden on the third day of my fast, the Lord spoke to me and he said, go over there, he said, and pray for her. He said, I'm going to raise her up. And I said, okay, Lord, you know. Well, when I get over there, the nurses are there. Maybe this was a different time, but the nurses, my point is, what I'm fixing to say, they told me, they said, there come, Mr. Weston, there comes a time when you got to let her go. And I looked at them and I said, with all due respect, you do your job and I'll do mine. You go in there and give her a bath and wash her feet and all of that, you know, and all of that stuff. I told my sister later, I said, see, I sat down with Mama and I asked Mama, are you ready? Are you ready to go see Jesus? Or do you want to stay here? See, that mattered to me. It wasn't about what I'm having to go through and I'm on call 24/7 and she calls me with every problem she's got over there, want me to come straighten everybody out and all of that stuff, you know, but my decision wasn't about me, but it was about what God wanted. God was honoring what my mama wanted. And so anyhow, me and her were in faith together that she wanted to stay longer. Hallelujah. So we were in faith, and I believe today that our faith kept her here. I believe it. Can't nobody convince me. I believe if I would have given up and I would have just turned things down and not stood in faith and no weapons formed against her will prosper and, you know, no tongue that rises up against her, you know. They wanted me to come and, see, don't make plans to fail is what I'm saying. You can make plans to fail. It might not be your death, but you can make plans not to be successful. You can make plans to stay discouraged all the time. You can make, I just can't help it. You done made plans. You can help it. You've always got a choice. And walking and living in faith is a choice. When you make a decision right here that you're going to be a tree planted by the rivers of water, that you're going to bear fruit all the time, that you don't never have to be dry, and everything that you do prospers. If you make that choice, then you just engaged in having that. But if you say, I don't know about that, I was raised this way, you just chose not to believe that. You just chose not to believe it. When you believe the doctor over what the Word says, you just chose not to believe the Word. So, you know what? I went over there and prayed for my mama, and there was a lady lived right across the road. Happened, same thing happened. Raised her up from the dead. Don't tell me Jesus can't raise. Don't tell me you can't lay hands on the sick and they recover. I've been attacked with sickness most of my whole Christian life in some form or another. And every time I am, God says, lay hands on somebody. I had this where I couldn't even breathe. And God said, start healing school. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, will heal me. Heal me, Lord, where I can. He said, what has that got to do with it? He said, go do it. He said, faith, that's what faith is. Faith is not everything's worked out and then you do the will of God. Faith is you do the will of God whether things are working out or not. You do the will of God. You set out to do my will, praise God, whether you feel it or not, then the kingdom will start to work for you. Well, I did that healing school for a pretty good while. Got healed of polyps. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2007, I'm going to close with this. 2007, Teresa was pregnant. I started saying we was pregnant. I ain't never been pregnant. It's 2008, yeah. Anyhow, he was trying to be born premature, you know, and he's not old enough to make it. And so she's bedridden, all that, you know, and doctors have done pretty much all they can do and to try to get him not to come too early because he won't live, you know. Well, anyhow, time goes on, and it seemed like when all that started, everything started. I mean, just battles at home, battles at work, battles at church. It seemed like everything that it was just turned. It reminded me in my life of Paul, you know, where he said, pressed on, cast down, but not forsaken. You know, I mean, pressed on every side. That's the way I felt in that moment. And I felt like I couldn't take it. You know, there's going to be times when pressures on your life come to the point to where you feel like you can't take it. But the Bible says that God will not allow any more to come against you than you are able to bear. He didn't say he puts things on you, like some people say, oh, well, God's doing this for a reason. God's putting this pressure. The reason why Satan does that, because if you believe all that's God, you can't believe to get it. You can't believe that God's going to help you out. Because if you believe it's God doing it, then ain't no need in believing God to get out. But it ain't God. Well, anyhow, I'm in that, you know, and I mean, it's pulling on my flesh, you know. Everything is just pulling on my flesh to quit ministry. All kinds of stuff, you know, because, you know, and then finances, and that's when, you know, I mean, the economy wasn't good anyhow. 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, really, you know. But and I mean, we were not really enough coming in and all that stuff, you know. And then she goes in the hospital and no insurance, and we already had set what it was going to cost, you know. And I got caught up in what was going on when I should have had more faith over here with Teresa. See, don't be caught doing that. Stay alert, be vigilant, the Bible says. Stay alert, you know, and I could have, and I didn't realize it, but later I realized it. Well, anyways, go on, and then we go in the hospital. And now, you know, the hospital stay is longer. In my mind, I'm thinking, man, well, this finances, I mean, this hospital's costing you blah, 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 you know. And so I just had to cast that over on the Lord. Finally, I got grips, you know, and I thought, oh, I see what's going on here. I'm pressed on every side, you know, and all of that. Cast down, but not forsaken. Seems like everybody's against me, praise God. Although they weren't, it seems like it. You know, but I come and gathered my thoughts and turned to the Word of God, and I thought, glory to God, I don't know how, but Romans 8:28, I love you, Lord. I'm called according to your purpose, and you said you'd work all things together for the good to those that love you. And you know, through all the losing Judah and all the finding, God brought us out and paid it in full. Paid that hospital bill in full. Right in a famine. Right in a financial downturn, praise God. You know? And I attribute it to our faith in the Lord. You know, sometimes you don't understand. But I just want to encourage you, if you've got things coming against you, if you ain't, go ahead, take notes, get some mental notes, and get ready. Glory to God, hallelujah, because God does give us seasons of rest, you know. But then here he comes, he's kind of like an eagle. We're like baby eagles. That mama hatches them eggs off, and she got them babies way up there, and she goes and feeds them. Oh, she getting them strong, and they get some feathers, you know, and then she goes to taking the nest, soft nest out that she's built, and she's fixing to cause these little eagles not to be comfortable anymore. You know, sometimes the pot being stirred, you know, will cause us to go a little higher. Go a little further. Well, you know, she pulls all of that out, and then she encourages them out to fly. She encourages them out to fly. Do you know that's what God does to us? Right in the middle of conflict and sickness and tax and all of that, when it's not, we just don't really, that's not the answer we think we need, he brings it to us, and he's fixing to force us on up a little. But I'm telling you, before you know it, them little eagles are flying, and I bet you they don't never go back to that nest and say, Mama, come feed me. So I want to encourage you, be steady in conflict, steady on the Word. Keep your mind on the Word, hallelujah. Fast and pray, hallelujah. Let us be a church that fasts. You're doing it on your own will. It's not that we're doing it. You don't have to. Don't do anything that way. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to pray. Keep that mentality. I don't have to read. I'm going to read. I want to read. I'm going to feed. I don't have to listen to sermons. I'm going to listen. Walk in that freedom where Christ has set you free, and don't be entangled with bondage. And then is when, in the spiritual aspects, it does the most for us. Praise God. Let's bow our heads.